In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father, my Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Well, yesterday in the Gospel, we heard our Lord telling the disciples that if they wanted to follow him, they needed to take up their cross each day and follow him. And tomorrow we have the feast of the, what's called the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, a special feast where we look at the, we might say, the positive aspects of the cross. And from where I am at the moment, I can see that at the back of the oratory, the cross, the wooden cross, has been covered in flowers, so in anticipation of tomorrow's feast. So the exaltation is looking at the triumph, really, the victory that our Lord achieved through the cross. And if we want to associate with him in his victory, then we also want to associate with him in carrying the cross, and carrying a little bit of the cross, in sharing in some way. And of course, this is a paradoxical thing, that our Lord, first of all, he tells us that we need to carry the cross, and he told it in the context of Peter trying to stop Jesus from going up to Jerusalem to suffer and to be put to death. So Peter intervened, and as we remember, our Lord gave him that very sharp rebuke. He said, "Get behind me, Satan, because your way of thinking is not God's way, but man's way." So our Lord is saying, if you want to think God's way, you've got to think about the cross in our life. But the other paradoxical thing, aspect of it, but the pleasing aspect of it, is that the cross is not something that brings sorrow, but it's something that brings joy. And this is something that we discover when we learn to embrace the true cross of Jesus Christ. St. Jose Maria used to say how many people complain about their crosses in life, you know, and all kinds of things that they complain about. And you get some people, I suppose, who complain about anything, don't they? I mean, whatever it is, no matter how good it is, you know, then they find something to find fault with. And maybe you've got people close to you that whatever you do, it doesn't seem to be enough, and you always seem to get it wrong, they're never satisfied, kind of thing. So a lot of people go suffering through this life because they're complaining about this, they complain about the weather, they complain about the government, they complain about, you know, anything, about the shops, they complain about people in the street, they complain about, you know, whatever it is, public transport. And but St. Jose Maria would say that, you know, many people have crosses, but they're crosses of their own making. And how do we know if the cross that we're carrying is of our own making, or is it the cross of Jesus Christ? And the answer is, if it brings joy, then it's the cross of Christ. And if it just makes us sad and miserable and self-centered and thinking, poor little me, and why do I always have to suffer, and why do I, you know, the typical thing, why Do I always have to sit next to the weirdo on the bus, you know, that sort of thing? Why do I get all the bad luck, you know? Why are other people given so many blessings and I've got this kind of rotten, I've been dealt a rotten hand. I heard some years ago some people talking about the trappings of riches, and they said, all I've got is the trappings of poverty. I've got the wrong set of trappings. Well, you know, if you go through life just complaining about your lot, well, it's not the cross of Jesus Christ. So the cross of Christ is something that brings us peace. Why? Because it means that we are united with Jesus himself. So we can look at a few sort of aspects of this, what it means to carry the cross. Blessed Alvaro, in a letter he wrote, said, have a great love for the Holy Cross. Taste in your heart the need the world has to receive the graces of the cross. How many people still don't know the Holy Cross, or they turn away their shoulder so as not to accept it? And there is a set of stations of the cross, of considerations of the way of the cross. And in one of the stations, when Jesus receives the heavy wooden cross, this commentary says, he receives it with meekness, nay, with a secret joy, for it is the instrument with which he is to redeem the world. So Jesus, when you carried that cross, we know it was incredible suffering, it was incredible pain, but you carried it with joy because you knew that it was going to mean liberation for us. And while you hang on the cross there with your arms open wide, and again, St. Jose Maria would say, your arms are open wide to embrace the whole human race. Well, of course, you're suffering indescribably, not only the physical pain, but you know, the abandonment by your disciples, the mockery and the taunts that are being hurled at you. And yet your heart is filled with joy because you know that by doing this, you are enabling us to enter into your life and to be able to rejoice forever in your family with your Father in heaven and with the angels and the saints. And the theologians have said that, you know, Jesus would have done this 1,000 times over to save a soul, to save us. And he gave everything that he could, but he gave it joyfully. Now, there was a moment in early on in the life of Opus Dei, in August of 1931, when St. Jose Maria was saying Mass, and that day in Madrid was a celebration of the Transfiguration. He wrote afterwards, after the Mass, he said, when entrusting my intentions at Mass, I noted the interior change that God has made in me during these years of residence in Madrid. He'd moved to Madrid about 4 years earlier. And that change has come about in spite of myself, without my cooperation, I might say. I think I then renewed my resolve to dedicate my entire life to the fulfillment of God's will, the work of God. A resolution that right now I again renew with all my soul. And at the consecration, St. Jose Maria raised the sacred host. And at that moment, some words of scripture came to his mind. In Latin, it's Si exaltatus fura a terra omnia tram ad me ipsum. So from St. John's Gospel, and it means, if when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself. And he saw this as a special locution. It was God talking to him directly in his soul without the exterior sound of words. And he saw that there was a special meaning to these words. When I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all things to myself. And he said, I understood that there will be men and women of God who will lift the cross with the teachings of Christ to the pinnacle of all human activities. And I saw our Lord triumphant, attracting to himself all things. So that there was a traditional way of understanding these words. So when I'm lifted up, I mean, our Lord was referring to being lifted up on the cross. And there you hang on the cross, Lord, and those who look at you with faith, you know, like the Israelites looked at the serpent that was raised in the desert and they were healed. Well, if we look at you with faith, then you know, we can be saved. And so that's the traditional understanding. But St. Jose Maria understood it in this new way, that you know, men and women all across the world, ordinary men and women, would be lifting up Jesus Christ, placing him at the pinnacle of all activities. And what does that mean then, to place him at the pinnacle? Well, it means fundamentally working for you, Jesus. I mean, we work for many motives. We work, you know, to get money. We work maybe because we want to contribute in this or that sector of society. We work for a whole range of reasons. But the main reason that we work is so that we can offer that work to you. We can sanctify it. We can turn it into something pleasing to you. We can unite ourselves to you in our work. And it brings great comfort to us to think how you came and you spent, you know, up to the age of 30, you spent your life working. Working, and it so happened, working with wood, of course, the wood, which was then ultimately to be the instrument of our salvation, but you were working with wood and sanctifying that and joyfully and cheerfully accepting all the difficulties and the hardships. And there's many things, many hardships and many difficulties that we don't know about, of course, you know, 2,000 years ago, we don't know really the conditions. And we can imagine that, you know, even though you had been very well trained in the craft of cutting wood and making things, maybe it would be hard for you to find people willing to pay. You know, I mean, it's not as if there was a constant flow of work necessarily. So you would suffer the humiliation of being told, no, sorry, I don't need your services. You would suffer the, you know, when you were working, you would have the normal challenges of you know, not only having to deal with the materials, which might not always be perfect, but you would have to deal with different characters, people who perhaps were not so willing to pay on time or to pay at all, people who would criticize your work, you know, they would find fault with what you've done, even though you've done it perfectly. So you experience all the kinds of things that we experience. And here is a great field, really, for discovering the cross. So when we think, what does it mean to take up my cross each day and follow you? Well, what it means to a large extent is just accepting the challenges and the difficulties and realizing, well, you know, you set me a number of challenges each day, and just fulfilling my duties, following a timetable. I mean, we all know that you know, at times we lack enthusiasm for doing what we should be doing, and we make excuses for putting things off. But the cross is saying, no, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to put you, Jesus, before my own kind of tiredness or laziness or whatever. So I want to place you at the pinnacle of all human activities. So St. Jose Maria said, Jesus seemed to be saying to me, you should put me at the pinnacle of all human activities, so that in every place in the world, there will be Christians with a dedication that is personal and totally free, Christians who will be other Christs. It's quite interesting. There's a book has just come out on the history of Opus Dei. It's come out in Spanish. It's due to come out in English quite soon. I mean, soon, maybe December, I'm not sure. But anyway, it's undergoing the process of being translated, although it's not exactly an exact translation, apparently. But anyway, what I've just started looking at it, and it's very interesting with the young people in the 1930s. St. Jose Maria was saying, you know, they've got to get involved in the ordinary activities of life, because there was a sort of division, and many Catholics, they spent their whole time organizing Catholic things. So they joined Catholic associations, and they, you know, and they set up different positions of management in these things, and people who were running them, directors, and then there was a secretary, and they were writing articles on Catholic things for Catholic people, and having no impact on society. And so St. Jose Maria was very keen that people should just get involved in the things of the world, because what's the point of, you know, having a sort of separate kind of clique of people who are all, you know, helping one another, it's true, in their faith and supporting one another. But, you know, in the meantime, society was just going off the rails because there weren't people committed to Christ who were in the key positions in society. So what he'd seen in 1928 in relation to the work was, you know, very much that people should be inserted in the heart of society. And this was reaffirmed in this locution that he received on the 7th of August of 1931. And he said that amid all the problems and the difficulties that he was undergoing, he said that he realized that having the cross is having you, Jesus. And having you means that we realize that we are children of a Father who knows everything and can do everything. And he said, again, based on his personal experience, he said, Abba, Pater, Father, what trust, what peace and optimism it will give you in the midst of difficulties. So then we say to Jesus, well, what is the cross for me then? If I want to take up my cross and follow you, what does it mean in practice? And perhaps here we can think of something else that Jesus said, where when he was asked a question about the greatest commandment. He said, the greatest commandment is you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So to love you with all my heart. Well, we all have, as part of our human nature, we have affections. And those affections, they can help my relationship with you, Jesus, or they could hinder it, you know, if I'm channeling them so that I show affection to in a way that pleases you. I show affection to other people in a way that pleases you. Well, that brings me to you. But of course, you know, not every affection that I feel I should act upon, because some of them are disordered affections. And so we might think of that point that comes in the way of the cross, where St. Jose Maria says, heart on the cross, heart on the cross. Now, sometimes we have to set aside the natural affections that we experience because they're not helpful. And of course, it can be very difficult. I mean, there's a kind of emotional attachment to something or someone who isn't bringing me to God. And well, okay, you know, that's where we need special grace, really, don't we? Grace of to make the resolution that anything in my heart that is not compatible with love of you, Lord, I want to get rid of it. I want to get rid of it. Because the heart, our hearts are made for the infinite. The only thing that ultimately will satisfy the longings of our heart is the infinite love. And if we set our hearts on something finite, you know, as the main goal of our life, then ultimately it's going to cause disappointment. It's going to cause frustration. So to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, well, yes, we've got this responsibility to look after our soul and to make sure that we stay in a state of grace. And this means a constant battle to avoid the not only sin, but the occasions of sin, those things that could make us fall, you know, including curiosity, which is a very powerful instinct, isn't it? Curiosity, which can, of course, be the source of wonderful things. They say that wonder itself is the starting point of philosophy. We have this kind of desire to know, and if we channel it, then we come to the knowledge of you, Lord. But we know that we have a curiosity that leads us down all sorts of alleys and lanes and cul-de-sacs and rabbit holes and who knows what, which get us into a real mess and can harm the soul. And so again, you know, heart on the cross, and get used to saying no. Get used to saying no to these disordered tendencies. I'll just look at this. I'll just check this. I'll just, you know. And to love the Lord your God with all your mind. Well, we're praying here, Lord. We're trying to concentrate. We're trying, but we all know that we are weak, and we can be often present in body, and yet with our minds we can be somewhere completely different. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that this is one of the biggest challenges of when we pray, is distractions. And of course, if we don't have self-control during the day, if we just let our imagination go here, there, and everywhere, then it's very difficult to kind of bring it under control just for the time of prayer. How we live during the day is going to show itself in the way we pray, or that we don't pray. Yeah. So if there isn't any kind of control or desire to to have order in our thoughts and in our imaginations, and controlling the kind of useless daydreams and fantasies and things that we might allow ourselves. Well, it's going to be very difficult to pray. So the cross, we can see in these kind of little constant struggles during the day to have a bit of self-control. And of course, Jesus goes on to say not only that we should love the Lord our God, but to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is a practical way of showing love for the cross. My readiness to put myself out for other people, my readiness to accept other people patiently, kindly. I mean, we must, I suppose, all of us are in situations or can be in situations where there's someone who maybe rubs us up the wrong way, who we find, you know, annoying or irritating, or we just can't understand why they don't act more rationally or whatever. I mean, you know, it's kind of constant cause of difficulty for us. But here is an opportunity for us to embrace the cross, to try to be understanding, to try to think, well, why should I get impatient, Lord, when you're so patient with me? You know, you don't give me up as a bad job. You don't lose your cool with me. Yeah, I lose my cool with other people. And again, St. Jose Maria says, well, think that that person doesn't annoy you, that person sanctifies you. So I'm sure that we're all in situations where there's someone who, you know, we don't like the way that they act, or the way they go on and on about this, that, and the other, or you know, all kinds of things. And we find that during the day, actually, I sometimes have a resolution, which I'm not really that good at keeping, I have to say, but it sometimes occurs to me that, you know, towards the start of the day, to say, okay, well, I'm going to look for, say, five things today. I'm going to be on the lookout for five annoying things today, so that when they happen, you know, I'm going to be ready for it and offer it up. You know? And you know, sometimes it happens that you're trying to do something good. You maybe you think, well, you know, I've got a few minutes to do my spiritual reading, and I just start my spiritual reading, and then the phone goes or the doorbell goes or something. You know? Okay, so that's number one, right? And then you're in the traffic, and then somebody does something which you find unpleasant. Okay, that's number two. But I mean, try it if you want. You try it. It's quite hard to remember, after, especially the humiliating. I'll let you into a little secret. That today I was on my bike and I was kind of starting off at a junction, and my foot slipped for some reason off the pedal, and I somehow managed to bang my ankle against the pedal. It's quite painful, but I thought, worse than the pain to the ankle is the pain to my pride, because I must have looked quite sort of incompetent there. But anyway, so, you know, we get humiliations, don't we? You know, things that just fall apart in our hands, you know, what happened there? So, you know, if we're on the lookout, really, if we're on the lookout, we can say, well, actually, all these things, Jesus, are things I could offer up. All these things are part of the cross. All these things are things that I could bring into a phrase that St. Jose Maria used to like to say in Latin. He'd say, in laetitia, nulla dies sine cruce. So in joy, no, so two words, I-N, in space, joy, not in joy, but in joy. Let's say with joy, right? With joy, no day without the cross. No day without the cross. Which implies that if there is a day without the cross, it's a joyless day. It was a day when we just give in to our whims, our laziness. We don't care about others. We don't pray very well. We just kind of just, you know, do nothing. Then it's a joyless day. But if we are really thinking of loving you, Lord, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, then it will be a day of the cross, the true cross. It will be a day of joy for us. Well, Mary, of course, was beside the cross, and we turn to Mary to help us to acquire this great love day by day, to look for the cross in our life, which is our way of joy. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect, my Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.